Hi, I'm Gil Headley, and I'm the proud sponsor of the Anatomy and Movement Channel. Welcome. This conference is important. It's both groundbreaking and ground-building. Literally hundreds of thousands of us have gathered here to expand our experience of embodiment, and in so doing, evolve the embodied experience of our world. Embodiment is a practice that anchors us consciously into that which is common to us all, our human body. Regardless of our differences, and we have them, we all live out our lives in a body, and we're all connected by that shared experience. I've been developing integral anatomy for the past 25 years. I believe the human body is not a problem to be solved, but rather a gift to be received and explored. Integral anatomy is an approach to understanding the whole body, which emphasizes textural layers, continuities, and relationships. We notice differences not to create separation, but to appreciate that which unites us all. I'll be presenting here on the Anatomy and Movement Channel, as well as on the main stage, and I hope you'll join me to explore the heart of inner space. And for further study with me, check out my website, gilheadley.com. When you join my site, you'll automatically receive 3 free full-length courses because I'm on a mission to share what I've learned through my own deep exploration of the human form. And I'm certain that these courses will enhance and transform your own embodiment practice. I hope you enjoy the presentation.
Perfect. So welcome in again to everyone who's just joined in for today's session. Today's session is called The Roots of Barefoot Ted and the Born to Run Effect. So Ted's philosophy is simple. Self-experimentation is key. Find your own path and share what you discover and repeat. And you can find more of his work at barefootted.com. So I'll hand it over to you now, Ted. Thank you so much for today's session and coming on.
Thank you. Yay. Hey, howdy, folks. I'm super excited to be here. I've got myself set up to be in a sort of a virtual fireside chat. As many of you know, if you've learned about me through the book Born to Run, or if you've met me out in the world, you know I have some stories to tell. And today's story is really a story we all share about what it means to be a human being, what it means to be in this body and to be in this world at this time. And I want to build a space where I can riff on these ideas that I've been exploring and part of over the last decade plus, connected to running, connected to barefoot exploration, and getting back connected to the roots of the very vehicle that's allowed us to be the successful species that we are. And that's been my journey, trying to reconnect to the not broken by default body of ours, but rather make the assumption that I've been making that indeed it's rather a robust and worthy piece of equipment if we could just tap into it and allow it to become more what it was meant to be. And the barefoot path became the path that ended up working for me. And I want to go into that a little bit before I give you some of my, let's say, steps that you might want to take. And that's what we're going to be going over here in a little bit. I'm going to be talking about these 5 steps here. It's the barefoot philosophy, attitude, action, results, and lifestyle. And that's going to be, we're going to be honing back in on that concept as we move forward here. But before we go on, I'm going to add a visual that's going to play the role of being the fireside that we're going to be chatting behind. Yes, there is one over here, but I've got another one that is a visual one that I'm going to want to share with you now. So bear with me as I set this up. That's the ringing bell you hear in the back is part of the sort of fireside chat that I'm going to try to share here. So give me a second here as I pull this up. It's going to make me do this, so I'll do it. Here we go. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. I think you might appreciate, I'm going to tell you a little bit about what our background is here as I continue here. This is a photo of me and Manuel Luna down in the Copper Canyons in 2006. It was the story that many of you ended up getting captured by and touching you in a way that I know from traveling all over the world now and meeting people who one way or another read the book Born to Run, and it opened up their imagination to possibilities about what one could do in one's body that seemed beyond belief at the time, particularly for many of us in 2006. People who were covering long distances and using very basic equipment to do it. And in this photograph in the background here is me and Manuel Luna in 2006 trying to make me a pair of sandals so that I could explore and start riffing just like a surfer making surfboards. I feel like in this photo here, I'm meeting a person who I could connect to who sort of was giving me an insight into how one might go about exploring the world and kind of riffing on the idea that the least amount of equipment might be the best, and also tapping into the idea that instead of a body that was not prepared to move and express in the world as it is, indeed, we do have one that can do that. And that book, Born to Run, sort of resonated, and I believe sort of opened up a space in kind of contemporary thinking that began to really reevaluate and reassess our roots in evolutionary biological time frames, and also just, after all, didn't we evolve on this planet to move and explore on this planet? And isn't there something fundamentally approved by the design and the equipment that we've been given our own body? So as I started riffing on that and playing around with reconnecting to my own bare feet, which had been played such an important role in growing up in Southern California in the 1970s and surf and beach culture, what could one but expect that one's own body was enough? I mean, the beach and the surf and the sand just beckons us to reconnect and re-participate in the very birthday suit that we were born with in a way that gives the greatest amount of satisfaction and nuance and control. So my journey to crack the nut of running was one that ended up resonating with so many other people. I wanted to find a way to see if I could make the leap and find the training method that would allow me to run a marathon. It was a simple idea that came to me when I was 20, when I was meeting a 40-year-old who was getting ready to do a marathon. And I thought, my goodness, a 40-year-old can do something like that. I'm going to have to re-examine this concept when I get older and see if I can do that myself. And so I found myself in 2004, getting close to my 40th birthday and really not fully having cracked the nut of long distance running for myself. So I decided that I was going to make one last effort to do whatever it takes to find a way to see how I could integrate running into my life. And I did what everyone else would have assumed you should do. I went and looked for the best equipment that might exist for, you know, what had been invented, and maybe there was some new shoe or new process or new style of a tool that I could use to start exploring all of this. And I turned the dial to 11 and found some footwear that was the most impact resistant, the most padding, the most likely to protect me from what I was believing was the problem of having to move on the ground, having to deal with the impact. I just knew I needed something that was going to allow me to do that safely. And after this product, these shoes came and I put them on, and I got so very excited about how I was going to just expand the potential of my own life with this new tool, only to find that the footwear that I had so been expecting would help me indeed made it even more clear that I was not on the path that was going to lead me to where I could master this technique and of running. And once I kind of experimented and found that that wasn't the way, and that the footwear that I was trying to get wasn't in disgust, in a sense, I started removing footwear and sort of riffing back on a pattern of movement that had existed for me all of my life. And I go over that in the recent Chicken Soup for the Soul book called Running for Good. I have a story in there called The Roots of Barefoot Ted that goes into detail into this process of growing up and like reconnecting to my barefoot roots, which have been asked when I've traveled, like, you know, Barefoot Ted, can everyone just take off their shoes and suddenly become a barefoot runner? You know, it's become one of those kind of things where through exploring and recognizing that not everybody's the same, I came up with a way of sort of getting people to evaluate their own journey in connecting to their body with their own past and history in having been barefoot. And in my case, it was a perfectly natural thing for me to ditch the shoes and start riffing on the experience that I was getting directly connected to the earth and my own bare feet, because indeed that's how I and so many have grown up, in our bare feet in the 70s in California. So it was, for me, it was getting, trying to solve the problem with a tool was getting me further and further away from the tool that was already working for me. So if you've read the book Born to Run, and I'm sure any of you listening to this now probably have, that journey, trying to explore what I like to think of as the natural selection of footwear in human cultures, I started realizing, oh my gosh, in some cases you absolutely need a tool. I started getting, making some quick headway once I solved the riddle for me on footwear and started training more in bare feet. What that ended up allowing me to do was to tap into the genetic memory of what it feels like to be a human being and moving, and starting to trust some of the senses and entirely complex, overly complex system of feedback that we have in our own bodies. As I started exploring this, it became super exciting and kind of epiphanal, like, wow, how is it that we got so disconnected from this skill set that we lost it entirely and believed that we needed something outside of us to be able to explore the world that we had evolved in? And I made it my mission to see how far I could go, how much I could push myself to strengthen and develop the skill of running so that I could try to run a marathon, which I ended up being able to do pretty quickly. And then began to sort of imagine what are some of the limits to the potentiality of this wonderful, incredible tool called our body and our feet. What other possibilities are there in it? And as I started exploring that, that's when I became aware of the whole, what was at that time a budding ultra marathon world, where the people as a rule who were rising to the top in that world as a cohort, as a group of people, were a very beautiful, loving group of people who were coming out of the deep canyons of northern Mexico called the Tarahumara, who are as a cohort some of the greatest long distance runners. And I think they've played a massive role in helping us as a family, human family, remember these incredibly deep roots in our own body, in our own species, that really have the capacity to allow us to get healthy and happy in our bodies because of the tool and the that we are born with. And that tool is our own bare feet. And so I started really getting excited about going down and participating in 2006 in what became the, what was known then as the Copper Canyon Ultra Marathon, which was a 50-mile race, and it was going to be the farthest I'd ever run in 2006. And I trained as best as I could, and I knew I was going to need some kind of footwear for it. And right about that time, I had just started exploring the idea of what kind of footwear have human beings used in the past in order to, beyond just their bare feet, what have people come up with as solutions for protecting their feet and making sure that they're being able to be safe when they're moving over long distances. And as I explored that that sort of what people had done in the past, you start seeing all over the world interesting solutions to the problem of footwear that at one and the same time errs usually on the side of the simplest solution that works the best is the best. And you start seeing this footwear that pays homage to the foot. And so I was going down to the Copper Canyons to see the Tarahumara running in sandals still, and in bare feet. Even in the world today, there are in different places, the San people of South Africa are famously still able to move over great distances in their own bare feet or simple footwear. I was also intrigued by historical footwear, particularly in Japan, where the samurai would be fighting in the mountains in the snow and they would be wearing a simple sandal called a waraji. So I found myself in 2006 down in the Copper Canyons with a group of, very, very interesting fellow runners, much higher caliber than me. One in particular, Scott Jurek, who was one of the top ultra marathoners in the world at the time, is definitely Hall of Fame for ultra marathoning. He will most definitely be inducted into it if he hasn't already. Luis Escobar, known as El Coyote, was down there with us and taking photographs of the entire experience. And indeed, this photograph that you're seeing in the background here is a photograph taken by Luis of me and Manuel Luna as Manuel Luna is cutting me my first pair of huarache sandals. So the whole concept of minimalism and the idea that zero drop and less is more and all of that was essentially in that cut that Manuel Luna's making in that photograph was sort of opening up that territory for our generation, for this last, the generation we're in now. For us, for me, it became that epiphany that was like, oh, maybe I don't need all of that extra equipment. Maybe I don't need that padding. Maybe I don't need an arch support. Maybe I don't need my toes to be forced into a point. Maybe there's something to be said about paying homage to my foot, allowing this extraordinarily complex piece of equipment to express and connect and feel so that it could give me information, feedback that I wasn't getting before. And indeed, this is what I found. As I took off my shoes and I began to re-explore the world and particularly the ability to move comfortably, lightly over the world, it turned out that the feeling in our feet and the feedback we get from them ends up becoming a helpful tool in helping us master a more natural form of moving across the ground, which is far more, when a bird flies, a deer runs, a fish swims, they don't break down quickly through doing their own natural movement. And as I riffed on that in my own body and in my own bare feet, I began to see that I was able to tap into a running style that was lighter and simpler and better feeling than what I had experienced when I was running in shoes. So after going down into the canyons, all of us that were in that group knew that something pretty powerful had happened down there. And all of us were on our own journey, but mine really came true. As I came back and I began just riffing on, like a surfer making surfboards, I started playing around with making my own footwear and trying to find what would be a worthy piece of footwear that could handle things like 100 miles running on a trail in the mountains. And riffing on that led to basically starting a garage band, essentially, of manufacturing with a company that is now known as Luna Sandals. And we're making sandals and that keep alive this tradition of making simple footwear that allows us to do very, allows us to ride the big waves of life. And at the same time, just make our way through our daily life in a way that's comfortable So I've been doing that. I've been playing this, I've been unfolding this reconnection to my body, and I've been riffing with other people who are doing it all over the world who have, found the same joy in sort of getting away from thinking that they were broken and so let's see here. So far, I think, let me go stop sharing now. Get this going back on. So what I wanted to, that was a little introduction into getting you to sort of like get a sense of who I am and what it is that's been inspiring me. And when it comes to barefooting, I like to think of it as a philosophy. So there's like five steps in developing any idea that you want to see where it's going to go. And the five steps that I like to, and that I'm going to talk about now. It's barefoot philosophy, attitude, action, results, and lifestyle. I'm going to talk about how by becoming a barefoot, but why would you even want to consider barefooting? What is it about the barefoot that is remarkable in allowing us to reach some kind of optimal health? Why is that important? And reflecting back, once you sort of recognize that the human creature, we're embodied in this incredible piece of equipment that, my God, the amount of testing and exploration and missteps and adventures that have been part of the journey that got us to where we could be sitting here today is a marvelous one that I hope you recognize that if you're witnessing this conversation and you're in a body, you're one of the lucky ones. And when you ultimately are looking for a lifestyle that will make you the happiest and healthiest version of yourself that you're going to find, certainly you're going to want to allow yourself to find an optimal practice that will allow you to daily keep yourself in tune with your body and with your world. And what I have found in my own exploration, as I found barefooting was the key that allowed me to tap back into this tool to allow me to reach some of the goals that I didn't think would ever be possible at the time, ended up running many 100-mile trail races and traveling all over the world to do different races and things that were, before I started this journey, it seemed impossible to imagine. But after I accomplished some of those things and was able to sort of prove to myself that that was the way to go, I began to recognize, like many of you probably recognize, that many of these things that we can discover through being embodied and tapping into our own body have been and are discovered by people all throughout time, all throughout history. And I started doing some research about others who recognize barefooting as an incredibly valuable health practice. And I mean, it doesn't take a lot to see where being barefoot is remarkably normal and often connected to either high spiritual states. You know, you take off your shoes before you go into a temple or into a shrine. You know, Moses takes off his shoes before the burning bush. And for us, it's being able to be comfortable in our own bodies. Certainly having anything that prevents clothing or footwear that prevents us from being able to feel comfortable in our own skin, these are not advantageous for long-term health. Many people have been wondering ever since the book Born to Run and like these days, what is it? What is it that I do? What is it that I recommend for people? And, you know, I have been following for the last 10 years this concept of the least amount that does the most is the best. So my own running practice is extraordinarily light compared to what most people would be expecting. And it's connected with very often barefoot or running in sandals. It's spending time outdoors in the sunlight. It's running in fresh air. Much of my, you know, let's say practice is running where it's the intensity is at nose breathing. And that philosophy has been paying off for me in the sense that at 56 years old, I'm feeling healthier, better in my body, more energy than I was able to say that I could feel even when I started this journey, you know, before I was 40. So I'm pretty stoked about that discovery. I think once you have the philosophy that the body you are in is maybe has something it can do that you can't even understand, you can't put words together to explain the miracle of what's happening in your body now. And barefooting is a way of tapping into that philosophy in a very, very easy way. I mean, everyone can practice taking off their shoes and moving around a little bit and seeing what happens there. And so when it comes to, many people would come to me when Born to Run first came out and I started doing some coaching. I did an introduction to barefoot running class, and I didn't feel like I was, my background as an intuitive athlete, you know, a early skateboarder and doing kind of things that we didn't have a rule book yet. We didn't know what to expect. I've always felt comfortable in that realm, testing the waters of what might be possible. And then sort of finding a way to tell the story of how that might work for you. And so when I would do barefoot running classes, one of the most important things that I needed to share with people or get people to grasp is to place themselves in the continuum of where they were in barefooting, acting as or imagining that barefoot is like a language. And my analogy would be, imagine you had grown up in a small village in the middle of nowhere that spoke a language that no one else had ever heard, and you spent your first 5 years of life there, and then you came to the USA and you grew up here, and then 25 years later, you're 30 years old and you're gonna be returning to this village with a friend who's never been to that village. Now, when you return, you're going to have, you know, you're going to be able to pick up that language much more quickly than your friend who's never seen the word, never heard that language. Barefooting's like that. Some people have explored barefooting in their past by, you know, growing up barefoot as a kid, doing yoga, doing martial arts, doing gymnastics, being a surfer, whatever. There's a whole, and so they have developed some of the, you know, they know some of the language. Some people, using the analogy of language, have never seen even the alphabet yet. So evaluating where you are in your journey of connecting, reconnecting to your feet is a very good first step. It's not like many people read the book Born to Run in the day, even still to this day, and perhaps thought, if I just take off my shoes, I can solve every problem that I've ever had. And unfortunately, barefooting is not a miracle cure as much as it is a recognition of the miracle of your own body. But it doesn't, just taking off your shoes and seeing if you could just do what you've been doing before you took off your shoes is probably not a good idea, particularly if you don't have a background in it. However, everyone who is, you know, who has working legs and feet have basically no restriction, no paperwork to fill out, nothing to purchase to begin to explore what it might be like to reconnect with their own feet. And once I had people willing to play around with that, they began to, you know, the next step would be to begin to explore the world again in your bare feet. And just like anything, if you'd been wearing earmuffs your entire life and suddenly took them off, everything would seem quite a bit louder. And the sensitivity that people have on the bottom of their feet when they haven't allowed them to touch anything for a long time is kind of like that sensitivity of just having been protected from the world for so long that every sound sounds loud, every feeling feels strong. But as you begin to allow the feet to come back alive, all those nerves, I mean, that's why feet are so sensitive, is because they're just so full of of feeling, of nerves. They're the place that you interact with the world, that you get feedback from the world. Sometimes you don't even know consciously what you're getting, but you're getting it. And so I got people to start very, very basically just getting used to the feeling of what it's like to even move on a hard surface in their bare feet. And the thing that you start to realize is the way you allow your body to move over the ground gives you instantaneous feedback on what the difference, how your body is going to feel if you treat it differently than you would if you had been walking in shoes. And so one of the great common things I would try to get people to pay attention to would be, you know, let's see here. If you were jumping rope on a hard surface, probably you wouldn't want to just land hard like that and in a slow pace. Probably what you'd want to get is that rebound that you can get when you load the body and allow it to sort of store a little bit of energy and release it. And once you begin to play around with the feeling of what movement feels like when you don't have any admixture, when you have nothing preventing you from feeling what's happening in the world, you begin to get a better signal to tune into what it is you want to pay attention to when you're moving in the world. And so the barefoot begins to allow you to feel more so that you can become more accurate with what changes you need to make in your body in order to allow it to move through the world in a way that feels much more flowing, much more rhythmical, much lighter. Now, in the end, you want to see some kind of results if you begin to bring barefooting into your life. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you were to begin to add, and this is where some research came in that really ended up being paid dirt for me. I found a naturopath doctor who ended up becoming a philosopher who was connected to sort of the transcendentalist movement in the United States, or that philosophical viewpoint, which has people like Emerson and Thoreau and Walt Whitman and others. There was this guy named J. William Lloyd who ended up writing an incredibly interesting, one of the first essays on running as an exercise. This is in the 1890s. And he had been working with people in New York City who they were known as civilizes. They had basically, it was the first wave of people who were becoming sick and depressed and because they weren't moving anymore. They were always sitting, or they were, you know, always in overdressed, and they were always, and he was looking for an answer to what would be the easiest way to help people regain this connection to their body and to get on the road to good health. Now, what I love about studying teachers from the past is you can ultimately see what they did with their philosophy and how it worked out in their own lives. And in this essay, Lloyd really points out that what you get in just a short bit of running every day is all the things that you could hope to have to keep you healthy and happy. It's everything from getting fresh air to allowing, even getting a little bit of sweat going, to allowing the your breathing to get to a healthy level. I've been really riffing on that myself for over 10 years now, and keeping it super simple, super light. Not really, you know, these days, even though, let's say last August, I went ahead and signed up for and ran and completed the Leadville Trail 100-mile trail race again, I did it on my own terms, training in my own style, keeping one aspect of the running that I'm really noticing to be incredibly important, just for hygienic health purposes, not for competitive purposes, but for health purposes, running so light that I could nose breathe and that I can, you know, basically when I'm done running or trotting, it's as if I have charged myself up. And that breathing, that sort of solar plexus, stomach breathing, are getting into that sort of rhythmical breathing that can be through the nose. I'm telling you it's such a basic, simple thing available to just about anyone who can. It's just so worth it to give it a try. So the barefoot, ultimately all of this, you know, needs to lead to some kind of results. And the results should be something along the lines of being able to recognize that by moving every day, spending some time in either bare feet or in footwear that's allowing your foot to really interact, connect with the world, by doing that, you are sort of inoculating yourself with some kind of primordial daily dosage of the best kind of nourishment you can give your body without any tool or anything other than you and some outdoors and some sunshine on you. So I've been riffing a lot now that I'm living in Santa Barbara. I've moved to the beach, back to California, in order to basically really tap back into that simple thing that we all know. And so in the end, what we're all looking for is a way of life that will satisfy our body's needs to move and breathe and experience the world, and at the same time being able to use that health that we gain to make our lives better on all the planes that we exist in. So somehow I think so many people have experienced it, a connection between your mind, your body, and this experience that of well-being that ends up being what we're living for. In other words, in the end, we're doing all these things, this philosophy of barefooting, this attitude of being able to know I can get what I need and explore the world in the body that I'm in, and leads to a healthy lifestyle that's what we're seeking, you know? In other words, so many of us, what is it that we want? What is it that we need? Well, before we can solve any of the other, solve the problems or take advantage of the opportunities in our life, we need to be healthy, we need to be vital, we need to be able to experience our life without the fear that we're lacking something. And I think the barefoot strategy ends up playing, you know, connecting to all kinds of other parts of our life. The barefoot in being the symbol of ecology, of connection, of togetherness. And indeed, one of the aspects of the barefoot is it's also quite vulnerable. And so when you're, you know, somehow getting comfortable with that vulnerability and recognizing that vulnerability becomes a tool to allow you to become more mindful, more present of your surroundings, it is amazing how little you need to get a deep experience when you're moving around in natural surroundings in your bare feet. I've got a picture here the other day. The lifestyle that I've been able to, from not being able to sort of, I don't want that. Whoa, there we go. So in this case, I'm running in sandals. This was a couple weeks ago in Joshua Tree. But I'm telling you, when you go out into a natural place and you can wander through natural places in your own bare feet or in sandal clad feet in this case, I was wandering through this desert here in bare feet at times, and it was just all about totally being there, totally being aware of what's happening. And when you do that and you make it, you begin to build this confidence that and you begin to realize the adventure of living, the richness of experience when you're exploring in your own bare feet intensifies. And there's something about the idea that you're experiencing something that, this genetic memory of what our ancestors have been doing forever, really. And when you start recognizing that this incredible piece of equipment is something that we are so lucky to inhabit, that we are so blessed to have it access to, and that it behooves us to do all we can and everything we can to keep it operating in an optimal way, and finding others who are solving the mystery for themselves and seeing what ideas we can pick up from them so as that we can make that journey ourselves. So I want to say, that's been the great opportunity I have had becoming this character known as Barefoot Ted and really getting a chance to see what that practice looks like. In this case now, going on, I guess it's more than 15 years now where I've been using this technique to push the boundaries of what I understood as would be possible to not only do some of the races and the events like that, but also to sort of get a chance to meet other people who, once they started, found their way to start riffing on this concept, where did they go? And the numbers of people and the numbers of events that have popped up has greatly enriched my life. And I'm, have been so happy to hear that somehow people got inspired to make their own journey into finding the solution to how they can become a more optimal human being, how they could turn their life into an adventure and not fear that they don't have equipment that is up to the challenge. I hope that in the coming near future, I will get an opportunity to share with more of you, invite some of you in the future to come to Santa Barbara, or even better, every March, first Sunday of March, down in the Copper Canyons of Northern Mexico in Chihuahua, we will be having again, March 7th, 2021, the Caballo Blanco Ultra Marathon. If you want to go try a 50-mile or a marathon, trail marathon will be a great opportunity. You can learn a lot more about sort of my current philosophy and lifestyle by visiting barefootted.com, as was mentioned earlier, and checking out various social medias. I want to invite you to have a look at my sandal company. It's called Luna Sandals. We have a U.S. manufacturing facility, and we also have overseas operations where we are making sandals that can handle the complexities of everything from the toughest trails to a night on the town, and all doing it in style and comfort. And I'm riffing on developing what are called Barefoot Ted's Adventures, where people will come to Santa Barbara for a weekend of lifestyle training, where they'll get a chance to sample what are the foods and other things that Barefoot Ted does to keep optimal health, and what are some of his secrets. I can tell you some of the things that I'm attracted to are extraordinarily, you know, basic and have been around for a long time. One of my favorite things these days, recently, once again, is I've been doing a lot of heat training, sauna, hot and cold. This is just absolutely one of the simplest ways to build vitality in the body and get the body into that self-repairing state that it can be in. I'm really into unbelievably skateboarding. I mean, it's been part of my background for a long time now, growing up in Southern California, skateboarding and surf culture. But I got back into the skateboarding, and I'm also very much any of the flow sports. I guess one of the things, that steady state that we get in when we're in that rhythmical breathing and moving pattern that's not overstrenuous, that's just the right amount, that you feel like you can go on and on, that state, that flow state, is a birthright of human beings. It's something we, you know, the runner's high, that endocannabinoid experience that we can all experience. And the more time I'm finding that we can spend there in our daily lives, as we're moving, when we're running, when we're exercising, whatever, we're in that, we're finding ways to spend more and more time in that rhythmical state, ultimately leads to some of the greatest payback for good feelings and vitality, and, you know, being open and breathing. I mean, people really are missing out on the benefits of something so simple as breathing and getting more of that and opening yourselves up to get more of that in your daily life. So I wish I could tell you more. I've been just looking forward to sharing with you what it is that this Barefoot Ted character has come up with over the last 15 years. And I'm more or less reached the limits of what I can tell you in one sitting. I'm going to bring it back to our little fireside chat here. I want you to see that very interesting image. I'm going to end with that, where it's almost like I've got a fire going with that incredible image. Pull that up again. Go here. Bear with me one second. I'm pulling, I think I started with it and I want to end with it showing. It's a, okay. One second here. Yeah, I just really, you know, I'll have to say, as you saw in the background, you can still see over here, as the winter comes, greatest, you know, I don't really have a television, obviously I have a computer, but one of the greatest joys in a simple primal life, let's say, is just simply a fire burning. Spend some time in front of that, and you will quickly learn that it's very likely that some of the greatest things in life just are an attitude and front of a fire or in front of the sun or in front of something beautiful like a mountain. That's Barefoot Ted signing out for today.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Ted. That was a great presentation. Really appreciate your time and presenting all that. And I want to thank everyone for participating and joining us on the session. So a few final announcements before we wrap up. One is the next session in the Embodiment Conference on the Movement and Anatomy channel is going to be Natural Movement and Rewilding. And that's actually going to be with me. So that's going to be happening in an hour. And I'd love for some of you to join me on that session if any of you are keen. Also, if you haven't already joined the Facebook group, then the link to that is going to be down in the chat. So if you guys want to jump on that and join the Facebook group, that'd be great to continue the discussion. And or finally, if you want to own the whole library of the Embodiment Conference, this recording is going to be available for the next 48 hours. But if you want to kind of go through the whole library, go through all the presentations in your own time and digest the whole library, then the link to purchase the full library will also be in the chat. And I'm going to hand it back over to you, Ted, for one final word. What is your top tip on how to be more embodied?
Well, you know, obviously, as Barefoot Ted, it's pretty clear what it is that I've been riffing on the whole way. So I just hope that this just encourages you to, you know, step outside your comfort zone a little bit and see what you might discover in playing the same game I have, reconnecting to your own 2 feet.
Perfect. Love it. All right. Thank you, Ted. And thank you, everyone, for joining us.
Thank you, Jake.